Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 37 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Changes to Sitka sales tax exemptions could move forward this week. The Sitka Assembly will consider several different proposals to restructure the tax code at its regular meeting tonight. The plans are designed to bring more money into the city, which has found itself strapped for cash as it prepares for the 2013 budget. KCAW's Ed Ronco spoke with City Finance Director Jay Sweeney about the plans and the difficult choices ahead.
One plan up for discussion tonight would limit the senior citizen sales tax exemption to low-income seniors. Another would replace the exemption with a rebate. A third would raise the cap on taxable purchases to $5,000. And then there's also a plan to remove the sales tax exemption for nonprofit organizations. City Finance Director Jay Sweeney calls them options.
All of them have advantages. Some of them have drawbacks.
Sweeney says some of the options on the assembly table will affect parts of Sitka in different ways. For example, the plan to raise the sales tax cap from $1,000 to $5,000 could have a direct impact on fuel purchased by commercial fishing boats, on commercial rental properties, and on other segments of the community that have regular big-ticket purchases. And while Sweeney says he always favors options that don't require a lot of extra staff time to implement, he's very careful not to advocate for anything specifically.
It's the assemblies and the citizens' wisdom to come up with a balance in what they're willing to pay for in terms of the voluntary taxation they put on themselves and the level of services and infrastructure that they wish to have.
City officials have hoped that the changes to the sales tax structure will bring in extra money. Sales taxes represent more than $8 million a year to Sitka. That's about a third of the general fund budget. How much revenue the changes generate will depend on the final form they take after the assembly does its work. But for example, the plan to replace the senior citizen tax exemption with a $300 rebate could bring in about $300,000. It's harder to know what raising the sales tax cap would generate. The city does not require merchants to keep data on large sales, so there's nothing from which to draw any conclusions. The plans have met with a skeptical public and likely will again on Tuesday night. Already, the assembly's agenda packet includes email messages from several residents. They say the city is balancing its budget on the backs of a vulnerable population, and that the conversation so far has not included enough hard facts, relying instead on anecdotal examples of abuse in the system. And those who have spoken out publicly have said that the city needs to tighten its belt. Sweeney says City Hall has grown by 7.75 employees in the last decade, mostly in public works, and that, he says, points to a larger issue, the city's aging infrastructure.
This problem didn't spring on us this year, and I think that's a point that I really want to emphasize. This problem just didn't spring on us and jump out of the blue and come up and bite us on the toe this year. This problem has been building for multiple years. And I think the municipality is lucky to have the team it has in City Hall right now, because we have the right combinations, in my opinion, of skills necessary to find a workable solution to a pretty difficult problem.
Sweeney says that Sitka has for many years been the beneficiary of federal and state dollars that have established enough infrastructure for a town much larger than Sitka's 8,800 people. But that level of complexity is necessary, he says, because Sitka is an isolated community. Also necessary, Sweeney says, is a plan to take care of that infrastructure. And as it begins to crumble, in some cases literally, Sweeney points to a major loss of federal funding, the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Act, which has sent hundreds of thousands of dollars to Sitka, not only for its schools, but for its roads, too.
To use a hackneyed phrase, it's a perfect storm of multiple problematic infrastructure requirements, from decaying harbors to potholed roads to a hospital roof, all coming together at the same time when we're losing our federal revenue sources.
The Secure Rural Schools and Communities Act is up for reauthorization in Congress, but most who are studying the bill say that it is far from certain that it will, in fact, get reauthorized. The city assembly, with input from the public, will have to make difficult decisions in the weeks ahead, not only on whether to change the city's tax structure, but also on where to cut the budget. Whether that happens by paring down the municipal workforce will be a conversation that's held later. But Sweeney says the staff is not excessive.
If there is a decision to reduce the municipal workforce, something won't happen. Something won't get done. And so it comes back to that question of what is the scope and the complexity of local municipal services you want. If you're willing to agree that you will do without, then yes, the municipal workforce can be trimmed back.
That conversation about what size of government Sitkins are willing to have and what services they might be willing to give up will likely play into Tuesday night's conversation about sales taxes and whether raising more money from them is an option the Assembly wants to pursue. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Assembly meeting takes place tonight at 6 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Raven Radio will provide live coverage beginning at that time. Southeast Alaska deer hunters have to file their deer harvest reports by tomorrow. It's a new state requirement aimed at getting a better estimate of hunter effort and success. Basically, anyone who picked up harvest tickets to hunt deer under state or federal rules this past year has to complete the report. That includes people who did not actually hunt or take an animal, as well as people who had someone else proxy hunt for them. During the season, hunters who took their bag limit were supposed to send in their report to the Department of Fish and Game within 15 days. The deadline for everyone else in Southeast is February 15th, which is a couple of weeks after the closure of the federal subsistence season in the region. Matt Lichtenstein recently spoke with wildlife biologist Rich Lowell about the new reporting rule.
Well, many people will remember over the last few decades, Fish and Game used to send out a regional questionnaire through the mail that asked people, about their deer hunting activity, where they went, how many days they hunted, how successful they were. And that random sample went out to 33% of hunters. And then we used those numbers to extrapolate and derive estimates for all hunters. And unfortunately, the accuracy of those estimates suffered from the fact that we got low response rates from the public. People remember probably getting reminders that you need to send in your... And you had some other biases associated with a mail-out survey. So for the first time this year, all deer hunters across Alaska received a hunt report card when they obtained their deer harvest tickets.
I remember that, right.
So everybody now is required to submit a deer hunt report, even if you did not hunt.
So if you got a license to hunt, you need to submit the report, whether or not you even went out one day.
If you obtained deer harvest
the
tickets,
tags, right. The tickets, right, the
right.
Tags, and hunters would know what those are, obviously. So you have to fill this out, and I understand you can do it written or mail it in or online as well?
Yes, we've set up a website so people can enter their deer hunting information online. It's a pretty slick way to go. And, you know, as you know, in some portions of Southeast, we have deer seasons that last 6 months. And for someone to sit down at the end of the season and try to remember, gosh, how many days did I go and where did I go and where did I get that first buck? And we've set it up now so that you can go on periodically throughout the course of the season. You can go on daily if you wanted and actually update your hunt information and keep track of it that way. Try it. Rather than try to recreate it at the end of the season when you're like, oh, I got to get my hunt report.
Which is what I'm going to have to do because I didn't realize it was online already.
Well, I'm sure you keep it on your desktop calendar, so I'm sure your records are documented and will be
easily transferred. They are well documented, actually. But I do have to go back and look through my logbook and stuff to figure that out. Maybe you can just explain why this is important that people actually do this.
Well, we think, you know, when compared to the random mail-out survey, that this new report system that people are required to submit will provide the department with a better estimate of the number of deer being harvested. And it will then be able to better assess the status of deer populations in different portions of not just Southeast, but across the state.
Also, actually, can people then find out in a year later or whatever where, like, will there be an overall report or something people can look up in a few years that show kind of in this year this many deer came from this area and this many deer came from that area?
Well, to a certain extent. Obviously, we don't want to reveal people's secret deer right. hunting spots.
You don't have to put your secret spot on the
No, but a general, you know, there is a report that is made available to the public on an annual basis that shows, you know, on a per island basis or major watershed basis where deer were taken. So one of the other benefits of the mandatory reporting requirement is that we'll be able to identify what portions of a game management unit are important for a community. And we can evaluate how deer hunting may be affected by other resource development activities. So, you know, here in Unit 3, we know that the deer population is depressed. And, you know, if we consider action to try to help that deer population back, we're going to need really accurate harvest information to measure the success of whatever we might try to do. So the overall intent is to get the best information available from all hunters. And, you know, we're sensitive to the fact that we continue to burden hunters with more and more reporting requirements, but it actually is to the hunter's benefit that we have the best information on, in this case, deer populations.
Biologist Rich Lowell with ADF&G. The new deer hunt reports are due to the Department of Fish and Game by tomorrow in Southeast. Hunters can either mail in the paper report card they received with their harvest tickets or report online at hunt.alaska.gov. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for periods of rain diminishing in the afternoon, highs around 42. Southeast winds 10 miles per hour shifting to the west this afternoon. Tonight, low temperatures around 33, slight chance of rain and snow late. This is KCAW in Sitka.